Welcome to the Dungeon Plunger Podcast. My name is Jason Weeb, and this is the show in which I, a real-life janitor and dungeon master, teaches you how to plunge in and run a better Dungeons & Dragons game. Without further ado, let's plunge into this week's episode. Rules? We don't need no stinking rules.
Hit it!
Hey y'all, your friendly neighborhood Dungeon Plunger here. Armed with my plus one plunger versus toilet mimics, we have another fun-filled episode. Are you ready to have your ears massaged, your brain pan squeegeed with all this fabulous information? Oh, I know you are. Sadly, this week, we got no call-ins. That's all right. I did have some feedback saying that this particular person preferred to have me talking and, you know, less phone calls. So you know what? We're going to take this as a good sign. But you know what? Personally, I like having call-ins. I like interacting with my, if I can say it, the fans of this show. Please feel free to call in with your questions, comments, and I will respond. You can email me at dungeonplunger@gmail.com. Regardless of which way you decide to like call in or email, I will play your call and respond to it or not, depending on how you feel about it. Gaming update. This has been my busy week for games. I had my kids' youth group game on Monday. I had my Stars Without Numbers game this Wednesday. As of recording tonight, I will be having my ladies' group. What have I been up to? One of my goals for 2025 is to get the 7th edition Masks of Nyarlathotep up and running. To that end, I have started reading book one of the massive 666 pages tome. Well, it's divided into two books. In total, that's how many pages it comes out to. Coincidence? I think not. It's a very interesting campaign. It's considered to be like one of the best Call of Cthulhu campaigns that's ever been written. It's long been on my to-run list, and I'm not getting any younger, and so I feel like this is the year. I remember watching or listening to Seth Skorkowski talking. He is probably one of my heroes when it comes to gaming. He's very big on Traveller and he's very big on Call of Cthulhu. Those are like his two big games. Oh, and also Cyberpunk. He said something that I found a little bit shocking, and that was that he's always been intimidated to run Masks because he didn't want to screw it up. And I'm like, dude, you're like the guy giving advice on YouTube about how to run these games. He's run a lot of games and he talks about his sessions. And I came to the realization that he basically talks about these things from his experience of running the games. And the advice that he comes at you with, while much of it is probably well-earned from experience and whatnot, when he's talking about these different adventures and missions and what, it's essentially from the perspective of, I ran the game, this is what happened, and this is what I would do differently, or what really worked when I ran the game. It kind of gives this illusion that he runs these like perfect games. And I think that this is kind of the problem that we have when we look at these people who run games and we say, oh, they're perfect. They run the perfect game and I want to run the perfect game. That's kind of what I want to talk about today in the sense of, you know, rules and games and whatnot. Before that, I wanted to talk about Stars Without Numbers Powered, set in the Traveller Third Imperium setting. The Pirates of Drynax is the campaign. The last three sessions have been the same adventure, and we've been having, until this point, there was a lot of stop and go, players not really sure what to do. This last session, we basically burst through that door. We just busted that block down. It was a fantastic session. The players have been trying to figure out how to hijack and steal the treasure from this Imperial treasure ship. And they know that it's being stalked by another pirate crew. But they're worried because they know that this pirate crew is experienced and a bunch of badasses. And so they don't want to, like, get themselves killed. So they come up with this plan that they're going to basically shadow the ship until this ambush happens and then decide, how they're going to like play their cards. You know, are they going to go on the side of the Imperium and then use that as an opportunity to like basically get into the vault? Or are they going to go on the side of the pirates and join forces with them? What ended up happening was that one of the players decided to challenge the other pirate leader to like single-handed combat in some sort of like pirate code, you know, combat situation. In my mind, I was like, damn, dude, I don't know if you're going to make it through this. It was kind of the strangest encounter that I'd ever had to run, because while I was running the combat, I also was like stopping. So I would do a round with the player. He was a Varger who's been all like cybered up, and he's got really great armor and he can do a lot of damage. So a Varger is basically a uplifted dog person. They were once dogs that are now humanoid dog, and they're their own alien species. He's fighting against an Aslan, which is basically a uplifted lion or cat people. Both of them dueling it out. All the pirates are kind of watching, going, oh my God, this is crazy. Meanwhile, the rest of the players have managed to sneak off and go onto the ship and try to figure out, okay, what's going on? How can we jack this vault? In the end, shots are going back and forth between the two pirates, duking it out. It looks like the player is going to die. It's not looking good for him. And then it's his turn, and he rolls the die and he gets a critical hit. The way I run the game is that you get to double damage on a crit. I feel like if you get a crit, it should be something freaking cool. What's cooler than doing massive amounts of damage? He rolls, I don't know, 30 points of damage, basically just one shots this Aslan pirate lord. So I let him narrate how he's going to kill this guy. Everybody at the table just goes completely ballistic. It's one of those gaming moments that you can't plan. The whole fight was one of these back and forth, up and down. Oh my God, what's going to happen? And then at the end, it was 1 second left in the game. He shoots, he scores. Oh my God, the crowd goes wild. I mean, you couldn't plan it. To me, that was such a great way to like finish up that session for the night. We were right at the end. We had a little bit of a cool down. We had a little bit of a wording some things out and kind of figuring out what the next steps for the next session are going to be. But ultimately, that was where that session had ended. Like I said, it was just one of those things that you couldn't plan for. And that was kind of it. This whole scenario was built on this idea of not being able to really plan for what you're going to do. And that's what I wanted to talk about on two levels here. The episode is called Rules? We don't need no stinking rules. I sort of want to attack this from two things about how much do you need to read the adventures and how much do you need to read the rules and know the rules. Let's go back in time. When I started this campaign, I want to say it was the beginning of January 2024. I'm not 100% sure, but that seems pretty accurate. I had gone on every Discord that I knew looking for people to do a face-to-face game with. I was looking to add people to my group. So I found one guy. I'd said how I wanted to run a Shadowrun game, and he was really into doing the Shadowrun. We never ended up doing Shadowrun. I felt really, really bad about it. But one of the coolest things that happened, the sort of like catalyst, is that he saw that I had the Stars Without Numbers book on my shelf. And he was like, oh, dude, you're into Stars Without Numbers? He's like, I love Stars Without Numbers. I listened to this podcast called Astronomica, and I'll put that in the show notes if you want to take a look. I was like, dude, I've always wanted to run Stars Without Numbers, but I never really thought that, you know, I could get anybody to play it. I bought it mostly because I wanted to have, you know, sandbox material in it if I ever did decide to do it. Like I said, I'd never really read the rules. I was like, oh, well, there's not a lot of rules here. I can do this. Thankfully, I had a couple of players at the table who were very big reading the rules. And I think, you know, like, that's the thing, right? So like, to make characters, you got to read the rules. Who makes characters? Your players make characters. And then because you got to help your players make characters, you kind of got to read the rules as you go along to make the character. Do you need to read all the rules before you start a game? I'm going to say no. I hadn't read the rule book. I just decided this is what we're going to do. And I could have been like, oh, I'm sorry, guys, I've never read the rules, so I guess we're not going to have this session. We're just not going to do it. And if I hadn't have done that, then I never would have had the most successful campaign that I've had in a really long time. We're now 22 sessions deep. It's been going on for about a year now. We've had more good sessions by a long shot than bad sessions. We would have lost all that. We never would have had this if I just would have been like, I'm sorry, I'm not ready. I hadn't read the rules. Obviously, there's exceptions to this. You know, if you play a very rules heavy game, the expectation is that you're probably going to, you know, be a little bit more invested in the rules. That being said, when I started playing third edition way back in the day, and we were just learning how to play, I mean, we got those books right away and we started making characters right away, and we made tons of mistakes. I remember the first time we had a fight against a dire rat, the confusion surrounding attacks of opportunity. That's what they were called at the time. Attacks of opportunity. Now, cool kids these days call them opportunity attacks. And I mean, I guess it makes sense to get rid of that of. But listen, to me, always be attacks of opportunity. Grappling? Dude, I bet you by the end of third edition, nobody else knew how to do grappling. That was probably one of the more complex rules of third edition. But did that stop us from playing third edition? No. We played it anyway and we learned as we went along. I think that's one of the nice things about when you're playing with people and you all start at the same level, right? This ability to like grow and learn with the game as you're going along. I think the most important thing is that you have to have this buy-in from your players that like, okay, we're going to accept that we're not going to get it right. And that we're going to learn as we go along. And, you know, if we have to retcon something, or if we have to make a, you know, we have to make a ruling until we actually understand the rules, then that's what we're going to do. So that's number one. When it comes to running pre-written adventures and campaigns, it's a little different. You do kind of need to read the material before you run it, to a point. My example here is running the Pirates of Drynax. This is a massive two-book slipcase, in the same way that the 7th edition Masks of Nyarlathotep is from Call of Cthulhu. I did read through the two books, more or less skimming through most of it and sort of reading the main key points in terms of like what the point of the campaign was about. So I had to do a certain amount of reading beforehand. The thing about running Pirates of Drynax is that there's a lot of material in there. There's just too much material to be able to read it all, and I wasn't prepared. I basically, like I said, when I got into the whole idea of doing Stars Without Numbers, I was scrambling because I needed to get something together to get this game going. The idea was that I have all these books, I have all this different material. I need to use this material. Why did I buy it if I'm not going to use it? You know, some of it's you buy it because it's cool and you want to read it, but some of it I bought because I was like, this is awesome. And I want to use this at some point. And so I said, okay, well, I'm going to combine or try to combine my Traveler stuff with my Stars Without Numbers stuff, because on some level, there is a little bit of cross-compatibility. Stars Without Numbers is sort of OSR attempt at their own Traveler rules, essentially bolting a sort of BX-style class system with a Traveler 2d6 skill system. I quickly had to skim through the material, get that prepared, and while I was basically stalling for time, I ran a bunch of my own adventures, things that I designed myself to sort of fill in until I had time to read more. I think in some cases, it's not ideal. There are ways of getting around having to read everything all at once. Obviously, it's not the best way to do it. Really, we should read everything and be prepared in advance. But I just don't know if that's necessarily realistic when you consider the busy lives of people. And I think, like I was talking about earlier, about how an accomplished game master like Seth Skorkowski, who essentially is saying, well, he's intimidated to run a big campaign because he doesn't want to mess it up. And yet he has all these successes under his belt. And it's kind of like, if anybody could run Masks of Nyarlathotep, it would be Seth Skorkowski, right? That's sort of where I'm coming from here. Would I have run Pirates of Drynax? Would I have played Stars Without Numbers if I basically said, okay, well, I haven't read any of the material, so I'm not going to. I'm just not going to do it. And yet I've ran, so far, a year-long campaign that my players have really enjoyed without having to read everything. People on the Mongoose Discord and on the when I look up online and stuff, and they're like, you know, I don't understand these people. They get into Traveler, they find out about Pirates of Drynax, and then they just dive into it. You know, that's so the wrong way to do it. And to those people, I say, why the negativity? These people run the game that they want to run. Maybe their chances at succeeding aren't the greatest. Starting it is better than never having started at all. And I'm not going to lie, I tried on two separate occasions to get the Drynax thing happening. First time was during the pandemic, which was just horrible in terms of face-to-face gaming. We had basically like come out of lockdown and then we went back into lockdown. And I had tried to basically take the concept of Pirates of Drynax and turn it into like a D&D style ship crawling kind of thing on a hex map where, you know, the players would go from an island to an island trying to bring back the kingdom of Drynax between, you know, two different empires. The second time was when I tried to actually run Mongoose Second Edition Traveler. I had run High and Dry for my players. Ugh, on so many levels, that was like an unmitigated disaster. Right from like character generation all the way through the whole thing, through the whole adventure. The players, they said they had fun, but it was painful as a game master to do it. And I was really turned off by the whole Traveler Mongoose Second Edition. I spent a little bit more time. I've been thinking about it again, thinking about what I would do differently. And I definitely would like to give it another shot, especially in the sense that there's conversions in Traveler versus Stars Without Numbers that's just a pain in the butt. And it would just be so much simpler to be able to be like, okay, everything's converted, everything's here, and then I can just add what I want. For example, the big thing that I found is that ships don't convert well between the two systems. There's a different concept in Traveler versus the way the Stars Without Numbers does ship design that leaves a little bit to be desired. I think if you were using one or the other, it's fine, but trying to go between the two is a little bit difficult. I'm not saying you shouldn't read the adventure, the campaign, or the rules. I think it's important to do those things. Take the time that's necessary to grasp the material. And especially in the case of something like Call of Cthulhu, where clues and timeline of events are important. I think what my real point here is that you shouldn't let a lack of comprehending the rules or a lack of reading the material stop you from running the game, because otherwise you're never going to run the game. You're always going to be like, oh, I don't have time, or whatever excuse it is. You're going to be denying you and your friends the opportunity to have some cool stuff. And honestly, my players have even said that they tend to enjoy the stuff that I create specifically for them over the actual written material. Now, is that because I'm not good at translating that material from the book to the table? Or is it a case that I know my players better than the material does and I have a harder time making that transition? I don't really know. It could be a combination of the two. But ultimately, I think we need to get over this fear and just run the game. For any of you new players out there, new game masters, we're veterans. You know, like I said, Seth Skorkowski, he's a master at running the game, without a doubt. It's nice to see that when someone who has that much experience running a game says that they're worried about messing it up, that you can be like, hey, even the best are worried. And so therefore, that should buoy you up, should make you feel like, okay, I can do this. That's ultimately the goal here that I'm trying to share with you all. Let me throw it back to you. What do you think? Am I just full of BS? Do you think that you need to read the material? Am I off base? Let me know. Send me an email at dungeonplunger@gmail.com or call in at my SpeakPipe, which you can find in the show notes. I just want to say thank you for all of you listening. Intro and outro music is by Alexander Kizanaku. Cover art by the most excellent John McNally from the Pacific Northwest. And remember, folks, when you're plunging into the dungeon and nature calls, watch out for mimics disguised as toilets. They're a pain in the ass. Till next time, peace out!